TV.
So, what important things have we learned, like, over the course of yesterday, last couple weeks, the last couple months, the last 32 years? It's basically this. Don't get baptized and don't use suntan lotion. And while you're at it, don't wear Nike shoes or Hoka shoes or running shoes that are ultra padded. There's a common denominator. There's a common thread running through every one of these scenarios. Let's review. Do not get baptized. Do not wear suntan lotion ever. Ever. And don't wear uber padded shoes that cost $150 to $200. All these things cost money. Yeah. I don't know. Do they charge you to be baptized? No. Well, you have to go to their church. So, I mean, that's an expense in its own right. Yes. What do all these things have in common? First of all, welcome to the show. I'm Martin Zender. All these things have in common is the protection offered by the world, by the stupid world, by the dumb world, by the soulish world, by the non-God world. Now, in deference to baptism, there was a time to be baptized. This is not the time. Baptism is out of season. Even when our Lord was baptized, he acquiesced to it. John the Baptist even protested to the Lord being baptized. Like, what are you doing? I should be baptized by you. Suffer it for now. I got to go through this. It's part of my humiliation. So baptism was simply a foreshadowing of a reality. Baptism was ceremonial, completely ceremonial. The reality was the death of Christ, the death of the old humanity. Baptism is identity. So baptism is just a useless washing. But it is insisted by the Christian religion that you baptize because they think it protects you. Remember, I told you that one woman was shocked when she found out I wasn't baptized. But then when I told her I was baptized as a baby in the Catholic Church, she was relieved. But then I told her a lie, a fun lie, that there's a legend in my family that when the priest was ready to put the water on my head as an infant, I moved my head and the water missed my head and she was alarmed again. I just played around with her. This whole idea that baptism protects you, you must have it for protection, that is a lie. In fact, it is an insult to Christ. Anything extra you try to do today in the wake of grace is an insult, a slap in the face to Christ. And a suntan lotion, the same in the physical world as baptism is in the spiritual world. Completely unnecessary. In fact, it will kill you. And as I said yesterday, it highlights the irony, the stupidity of the modern medical mind, which says that you protect yourself from a benevolent celestial orb, the giver of all life. You protect yourself from the giver of all life, the thing that will make you healthy, the thing, when it radiates upon you, will provide you protection against all manner of diseases. We protect ourselves from that by slathering chemicals all over our body. Chemicals with names, with ingredients you can't even pronounce. Now, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. It's all over the internet. It's all the rage. It's all the wisdom in the medical world. And of course, I've spoken before about ultra-padded running shoes. The human foot is so ingenious. And the greatest runners are the Ethiopian and the Kenyan runners. The greatest middle-distance, long-distance runners, marathoners, is the Kenyans and the Ethiopians, because they were raised barefoot without any shoes. And the foot was perfectly designed by God for running. And if you leave it alone, it knows exactly how to hit the ground. And there wasn't any such thing as podiatry until padded running shoes came in. People started running in these insanely stupid shoes that put the foot to sleep. I've taught about this before. There's a spiritual relationship here. So all these things are extra covering. It's the wisdom of humanity. It's people scaring the crap out of you. If you don't get baptized, you're going to be lost. It's hard to fight that. If you don't come to our church, you're going to die. You're going to go to hell for eternity. If you don't put suntan lotion on, if you don't just slather yourself in these pharmaceutical chemicals, if you don't put these cancer-causing chemicals on your body, you're going to get cancer from the sun. And by the way, speaking of that, it is true that an overexposure of the sun, like to get a burn, will make you susceptible to skin cancer, possibly. But it protects you. But skin cancer is not necessarily a deadly cancer. The sun protects you from cancers that are fatal, systemic cancers. And I've also read on behalf of a friend of mine, you can research this yourself, that skin cancer, I hope this helps someone. I'm going to move on to a scriptural topic. Not that this isn't scriptural. This is spiritual as hell. Skin cancer is the most overdiagnosed disease in the United States. I don't know, perhaps the whole world. It is commonly known in the medical world that it is overdiagnosed. In other words, people who should be left the hell alone are going in, and the doctor, wait a minute, I see this little tiny spot on your, that could be skin cancer. Let's look at that, get an electron microscope. Oh yeah, that's going to be trouble. We got to burn that out. Oh look, here's another skin cancer. I have a friend who's had like 25 of these procedures, and I'm convinced that the doctor looks at his face and sees his retirement plan. The doctor's going to retire on this man's face. And this man's in his 80s. And it's like if you just left it alone, it's my suspicion. If you just left it alone, you'd be far better off. Just leave it alone. Tell the doctor to get the hell away from my face. Because they're going to see skin cancer everywhere. Everywhere. This spot looks suspicious. No, you look suspicious. You look suspicious. And the doctor is suspicious. That spot on your face is not suspicious. The doctor is suspicious. And having said all of this, I want to apologize. I know I'm coming on strong against the medical world. And I know there are professional medical people watching the show. And I hope you forgive me. And I hope you continue to watch the show. I know there are good souls. There really are good souls in the medical profession. There are good souls in... Yeah, you can say it. You can say it. Say it. There are good souls in the... There are some nice people in the... There... In the... I'm pretty sure that... In the world... that claims to be the best friends of Jesus. There's some nice people there. There really are. I'm dead serious. Dead serious. And so, I thank God for the nice people who make the hell tolerable. The doctor's office is hell. Surgery suite is hell. The skin cancer diagnosis room is hell. But thank God that there are some pleasant people there who will look you in the eye, give you a pat on the back before they cut you up and hand you your bill. I thank God for these people. So I'm sorry if I've stepped on anyone's feet here, but I hope that the feet I've stepped on are not covered with over-padded, over-suspended, over-inserted shoes. Go light. You've seen the shoes I run in, that I ran 65 miles in one day on basically ballet slippers. Leave the foot alone. It's genius. The foot doesn't get tired. When you cover it with a overpadded shoe, the foot goes to sleep. The foot is pissed off at you for not trusting it. There's the bottom line. Trust. You don't need water. You don't need to get wet to be spiritual. You trust God. You don't need suntan lotion. You trust that God made the sun and it's good for you. He made it to be good for you. It makes food grow. It makes the plants grow. It makes everybody warm. I bet the people up north around this time of year start to wish they had more of it. I'm down here because of it. I love the sun. It's great. It's my favorite ball of hydrogen. Of all the balls of hydrogen I know, the sun is the best. But it's overprotection and it's non-trust. Non-trust. Well, I'm just going to play it safe. Oh, Jesus hates it when you play it safe. Jesus hates it when you don't trust him. I'm speaking relatively, of course. Well, I know Jesus is fine, I'm sure, but I'm going to just cover my bases. I'm going to get baptized. To cover your bases, you're going to insult Christ? Just to cover my bases, I better believe in eternal torment because everybody else is believing it. I want to be safe. You think believing in eternal torment is safe? And you want to be safe from the sun, so you're going to slather yourself in cancer-causing chemicals. Laboratory product. You're going to take a laboratory product from CVS and just cover your body in it. And that's playing it safe. Okay. It's a special. So that is a special, special kind of ignorance. Now, I know my foot was designed by God, but just to play safe, I'm going to buy ultra-padded shoes with arch supports and insoles and 18 pounds of Liberian rubber. Okay, go for it. You're not trusting anything. Okay, so my apologies to the medical professionals out there, and I thank God for you. I want to give one example because there are physicians. The medical profession is mentioned in the scriptures one time. And then I'll move on to Romans. I got a great topic today. But this is good, I think. I've enjoyed it so far. I hope you have. Mark chapter 5, verse 25, and a woman having a hemorrhage 12 years and suffering much under many physicians and spending her all and being nothing benefited, but rather coming to be worse, hearing about Jesus coming in the throng from behind, touches his cloak, you know the rest. For she said, if ever I should be touching him, even if it should be his garments, I shall be saved. Smart woman. She was absolutely correct. And she turned to Christ because of this, that she suffered much under many physicians. And I dare say that there are millions and millions of people on earth who I could bring into this room, and they would look into this camera, and they will tell you how much they have suffered at the hands of physicians and spending her all and being nothing benefited. Okay, it's one thing to be not benefited, to spend a lot of money, to spend your life savings perhaps if you don't have insurance, and to put your hope and expectations in a physician and to be not benefited. That's one thing. But not only was she not benefited, but she came to be worse. And I will tell you all day that going to a seminary, getting a Christian education, will make you stupider than you've ever been in the things of God. Wearing padded running shoes will ruin your knees, your ankles, your back, and your neck. You'll be the worse for it. It's not neutral. Christian education is not neutral. Going to church is not neutral. It's damaging. You'll be the worse for it. And it's expensive. There's a lot of money to go get a Bachelor of Dumbass degree, whatever they get in the Christian colleges. Suntan lotion, quite expensive these days. And God knows these padded running shoes are into the hundreds of dollars. And I told you yesterday that God has made health inexpensive. Good water, good food, especially plants, herbs, some spices, mushrooms. Go out and pick stuff out of your yard. Put it in a blender. You're better off than to buy prepackaged food. I still eat prepackaged food once in a while. I can't help it. I'm not perfect. But I know it's not good. I know it's not good. And my God, just the emotional expense of having to rush to church, get to church. Make sure you're doing everything right. It's not neutral. church is not neutral. You'll come to be worse. Going to the physicians, going to the doctor after you've paid your insurance dues, or you don't have insurance, paying these people like crazy, you'll be the worse. Most of the time, they make you worse. Most of the time. There are exceptions. I know everybody's, there's a few people screaming at me yesterday. I know that you've been helped. Okay, there are exceptions, of course. And the reason, by the way, that the world-class Kenyan and Ethiopian runners are not wearing completely negative impact shoes is because they get paid a lot of money by the shoe companies. But they learn to run, and their form was perfected barefoot. And so they're only wearing shoes because the shoe companies pay them millions of dollars. But they're able to maintain their form. But I insist to you that if they wore nothing on their feet, I'm thinking of Abibi Bakila, won the 1960, is either 60 or 68 Rome Olympics, the Olympic marathon. Abibi Bakila of Ethiopia won the Olympic marathon barefoot. The cobblestones of Rome, barefoot. I've told you this, I used to run 6 miles a day in Sao Paulo, Brazil, barefoot, in the city. People say, what about the glass? What about this stuff on the road? I told him I had two extremely high-tech instruments, if you will, that protected me against any road debris. Very high-tech tools that I used every day. What are they? My left eye and my right eye. But what happens if you step on glass? You won't believe what I did step on glass once in a while. You won't believe what I did. What did you do, Martin? I stopped. Yeah. I turned my foot over. Yeah. And I picked out the glass. Oh. I can tell you're disappointed. Then what did you do? I kept running. Okay. So, yay, Jesus healed that woman, suffering much under many physicians. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Being then justified by faith, we may be having peace toward God. Romans 3 and 4 have focused on justification, which is being declared righteous by God through Jesus Christ's faith. Nothing we did. We're totally passive. It's all because of Christ. We came into condemnation in the first place because of Adam. That was passive as well. And Christ brings us justification. And the result is we may be having peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read that entire verse 1 again. That's just one verse. Being then justified by faith, we may be having peace toward God. You can't have peace toward God unless you know that there's no condemnation. And Paul's going to get there in Romans 8. There's now therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Only when you realize there's no condemnation, the sin is not standing in the way of your relationship with God. There's nothing you can do to get yourself out of the body of Christ. Only then can you have peace. This is why Paul teaches on justification in Romans 3 and 4 before he teaches on conciliation, that is peace, in chapter 5. Being then justified, we may be having peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access also by faith into this grace in which we stand. Grace. It's like being led into a giant room lined with gold bricks. Each gold brick being worth $100,000. And the room is completely quiet and silent. It's the most peaceful, beautiful room. Somebody leads you into this room and says, this is your room. It belongs to you. And it's so expansive. It's so great. And maybe there's some nice music. And you just see this gold. And it's so beautiful. And that is being led into this grace by faith. Into this grace in which we stand. Imagine being led into a room like that. And just standing there and marveling at the peace of the room. At the wealth inside the room. At the richness of the room, of this knowledge that it's yours, and You learn once you walk into this great place that you're completely protected, you're completely safe, nothing can get you, and you have all the wealth you can use for the rest of your life. And oh my God, you're so happy. We have access to this realm. We have an access, all access pass. All access pass, through whom we have the access by faith into this grace in which we stand. This is real. Grace is real. The favor of God is real. This is more real than a building filled with gold bars or gold bricks or anything else. This is valuable. You notice that the people who have money in this world, who have the actual gold bricks, in my example here, it's just an example, it's an analogy. You notice that the people who are rich and famous, they're so miserable. Because what don't they have? They don't have peace. They don't have grace. They don't have the peace toward God because they still think God, they think they're getting away with things and God's going to catch up with them. They have this dread feeling that God's going to catch up with them. I hope none of you have this feeling. They just know that God's going to catch up with me someday. I'm enjoying life now. Yeah, but God's going to catch up with me. When the Grim Reaper calls, I'm going to be called onto the carpet. But they keep putting it off. And then this is why even in their most glorious moments of life, these worst famous people, they're not happy because they know the Grim Reaper's coming and they're going to have to answer for it. So that they don't have the peace that we have. We've already dealt with it. We're past the Grim Reaper because we've been crucified with Christ, Grim Reaper already there. And then we've been resurrected with Christ. We were entombed together with him, Grim Reaper. We've been there, done that, Grim Reaper. We've done the Grim Reaper. I need a t-shirt. I've already done the Grim Reaper. Or I've done the Grim Reaper. We don't have to worry about that anymore. Because we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we may be glorying. This is all we have to do. This is all you have to do today. Glorying in the expectation of the glory of God. Sounds a little redundant. It's okay with me, glorying and expectation of the glory. So you walk into this gold-filled room. The air is so fresh. It's filtered, like uber-filtered, filtered over and over again, like vodka. It's just distilled and distilled and distilled, except it's air. And it's filtered, filtered, filtered. It's so pure. And you just feel, wow, you feel better than you've ever felt your entire life. It feels like you just got 8 hours of sleep because of the filtered air in this room. And it makes you feel alive. That is glorying and expectation of glory. It's just too good to be true. But it's true. And we stand in this. And anybody that talks you out of it, like the Greens, they try to take you out of this room. Why are you in this room? You're too happy. Get out here where it's cold and dark and dank and poor. And you can still worry about how God looks at you. Okay. No, we're not that stupid. Go away with all these people trying to make circumcision videos. All these people want to be Israelites. Get them out of your life. Not as people, but don't watch their videos. It's really depressing. These people are depressing. They're so serious, you know. They want to be prophets. They want to be Old Testament prophets. They don't know about this. They don't know that we are in this glorious room. We have access to the room, all access pass into this grace in which we stand, and we may be glorying. That is, if we're freaking smart enough and spiritually astute enough to know about it, may be glorying in expectation of the glory of God. So it's glorious. What's glorious? To expect more glory. So what? Expect more glory. You're in glory. And people say, what are you doing in this glorious room with all these gold bricks and this extremely rarefied, beautiful, fresh air that really makes me feel amazingly alive? What are you doing in here? I mean, this is glorious. What are you doing? I'm expecting glory. You're expecting glory. Yes, this glory is nice, but this is nothing compared to the glory that's coming for me. And verse 3, yet not only so, but we may be glorying also in, wait for it, this is the part I don't like. You have to get to the end of this, though. Yet not only so, but we may be glorying also in afflictions. Oh my God, I don't like this, because it happened to me today. I was trying to close the blind with one of those sticks. You know, I have a stick and it pulls the blind. And the people who made the stick that hooks on the blinds, it's a hook instead of just put the stick on the blind. so it never comes off. But no, the stick, it has a loop, and the blind has a hook. And if you put it too much up like this at a over 45 degree angle, it'll come off. And this damn stick came off, and I couldn't get it back on, so I had to get a stool. So I took a stool over to the blinds, stood on the stool, very precarious. Lucky I didn't kill myself doing that. I put the thing back on. I got down without killing myself. But I took the stool back to the counter. The stool fell down and landed on my big toe, which I've already broken three times due to my, due to some toe stubbing I have done while running in my thin shoes. Okay, there are some drawbacks to wearing the thin little shoes. Yeah. So anyway, that was an affliction. And man, did I cuss. Oh, I had words. I had words for the celestial realm. You want to know the words? All right. Well, I'm not going to give you the specific words, but the general idea was, did you enjoy that? Was that necessary? That was a good one. You got me right on my toe that's been broken in three places. That was beautiful. That was I was being totally facetious and sarcastic. Beautiful. Perfect. That was nice. Thank you. And it wasn't a sincere thank you. It was awful. It was ugly. But let's read on. Having perceived that affliction is producing endurance. Okay. What else could I do but endure? I have to endure. So as angry as it made me, I got to admit, it still produced endurance. Because I got through it. And I'm wiggling my toe right now. I could show it to you. You want to see my toe? Let me see. Wait a minute. No, I'm having second thoughts about it. I am barefoot right now. I'm not going to show it to you. It's crooked. It's not at a 90 degree angle, but it's almost like at a 45 degree angle. And now there's a bruise on it. But listen to this. So having perceived that affliction is producing endurance, okay, endurance is producing testedness, yet testedness, expectation. It comes full circle. This is amazing. This is like a series of dominoes. So we may be glorying in affliction. So the stool falling on my toe was the affliction. That's the first domino. That domino falls. Affliction is producing endurance. Don't like it, but so it is. And now I have more endurance than I had before. Can't help it. I didn't order it. Don't want it. Don't need anymore. But lo and behold, I have more endurance. And endurance, testedness. Yeah, I've been tested. We tested him again. I think I mentioned something about that. Nice test. I needed another test. Okay, perfect. Great. Okay, so that is true, though. That's the next domino. Endurance is producing testedness. And what is testedness? Producing more expectation. So it just increases my expectation for glory, my expectation for the snatching away. I remember with the helmet of expectation that we talked about before in 1 Thessalonians 5, the expectation of my salvation. So it all comes back to coming back to that room. So now I'm back in the room after this experience of smashing my bad toe. Couldn't have fallen on any other toe. No. This was a well-executed affliction on Martin Zender today by God, Christ, the entire celestial world looking on. And they nailed it. They really nailed it. They got it good. Okay? So they thought, well, we're going to produce more endurance in this guy. Yes. And another one of the angels said, and you know what endurance produces? I sure do. Endurance produces testedness. Yes, it does. And what does testedness produce? And they all said together, expectation. And they look at him. He's expecting his snatching away. He's expecting his glory more now than before he smashed his toe. Success. Success. They all shook hands. Success. Success. We did it. And in looking back, I have to say, this time, honestly, and with all sincerity, thank you, Lord.